Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, for today, you get some more Sammy and Scraby here on 97.3 The Fan. Hope everybody enjoyed the Braden Soprano Show off and running. Nothing has changed in our time slot. We're going to be here with you from 2 to 6. No Scraby show today because of the 4 hours we're going to be doing here. Well, we'll be back to the Scraby show tomorrow. I got Sam Levitt with me today, and I'm very excited to have Sam on the show. He's going to bring us an interview with Jake Cronenworth that has not been published to the interwebs yet. So that is really fun to see. Sam, I got a question before we set up the show, because this is what I thought about this morning. His face was great. You could also watch us on YouTube. Just search 97.3.
Okay. Yeah, what's your question? I'm just telling you right now at 2:01 p.m., mm-hmm. and we're together for the next 4 hours.
Yes, we are.
It's kind of rare that we do a full 4 hours together.
Yep.
I'm just telling you, this is going to be one of those afternoons where you're going to get full-on sarcastic Sam Levitt.
That's fine with me. I have more fun with sarcastic people.
And I also,
people.
We have to address something you just said as well. But yes, ask me the question first.
Oh, okay. The question is this, because you go out to Arizona basically once a year now. This is your thing. You go out to Peoria. You stay there for about 6 weeks. All of us in California have to deal with the time change. And you don't have to deal with the time change because now we are at the same time. And I got to tell you, Sam, the time change, the spring forward messes me up. So, I mean, aren't you just happy that you don't really have to deal with that spring forward every year now? Because would you rather be home or would you rather be in Arizona?
Well, that's a really good point that I'm now going on 3 consecutive spring forwards that I have not done. So that's a good point. You're right. In Arizona, we do not spring forward, but California and San Diego catches up. I like it because it means for like a day like this, good example, mm-hmm. instead of ending at 7 p.m., I'll be done at 6 p.m. So that's true. I do like being on the same time as San Diego. It makes my brain work a little bit easier when we're coordinating things back home in San Diego. So I do not mind it. Now, the thing that I wanted to dive into with you, I wanted to open
yes,
up a little bit. And I wonder if our listening audience would agree on this, and you can call in, give us your opinion, 833-288-0973. That's 833-288-0973. Why, because you're on with me until 6, why would that excuse you doing the Scraby show until 7 p.m.? What does one have to do with the other? If you have such a loyal audience for the Scraby show until 7 p.m., the Scrabinators, Scrabinator yeah, night at the ballpark, aren't there people that get in their car after work at 6 p.m. expecting to hear you and you will be letting them down
yes.
with no Scraby show today?
Sam, these are all things that go through my head. I think long and hard about it. And when last time we went Tuesday through Thursday, you and I did all the Scraby shows. And I felt like my 6 to 7 p.m. was just a bunch of mush. So it didn't really make sense for me to keep putting out lackluster Scraby shows when I have 4 hours here. But you're right. I get messages from people. Hey, you were supposed to be on tonight. I'm driving home from work. What's going on? I will be back tomorrow, everyone. I will be back tomorrow. But I understand, Sam. You and Chris asked the same question. Chris thinks I'm lazy, so
I'm not calling you lazy. I get it.
I would like for Chris to actually show up before he calls me lazy.
I shouldn't talk because just a couple of weeks ago, I had to fill in a bunch with you, and I did not do Wednesday night show because I was just about over it.
This is a really good point. So we're on even footing, Sam, and it's only one this week.
So.
If we were doing this like all week, I probably would end up doing more, but I figure 4 is better than 4 with a really bad one. So anyway, that is the Scraby Show news update for the day. The Aztecs women's team, that's where Chris is right now. He's in Vegas. He's calling the game for the Aztecs. They're playing New Mexico at 2:30, the women's team, so we'll keep keep you up to date on that. They've won a lot of games this year, 23 games. So the Aztecs women's team, not so bad. We'll also talk about the Aztecs men's team cruising past Nevada. We will hear from Jake Cronenworth, as I said. We'll talk with Chris Weehan, former MLS, easy for me to say, player. And Sam, I didn't realize this until we talked earlier, but you had talked to him on a Friday, and I heard that interview, and he was very good, so I'm happy to have him on.
Yeah, he did a good job on Friday with Ben and I when I was filling in on the morning show for
you
4 hours
that,
there,
you take
too.
That
so
way more seriously than this show, that's for sure.
That's not true.
I heard you
that's
say,
not true.
Yes, Ben, I was actually reading this article earlier today, and I actually read it four times for you just to make sure I had everything down.
Yeah, I might take it a tad more serious. But, well, here's the thing. They got me on a morning where I was not at the complex. I didn't do anything else. Well, I did go to the game afterwards that got essentially rained out after two innings.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a waste. But I did get to see Kyle Hart, talk to Kyle Hart. So I guess it wasn't really a waste. Yeah, today I've already been to the complex. I've put in, a morning of work at the complex. Nice interview today with Jeremiah Estrada, which we won't play today, but that'll come out in the next day or two. So you kind of get like the second part of my day.
No, I get
it. Which is, I think, why you feel the way you feel.
No, I totally get it. There's a lot that goes into Sam's day that he doesn't share on the radio.
Oh, but you were asking about Chris Weehan. I'm sorry. I totally took that in the direction of myself.
No, it's okay.
What else is new? Sam focusing on himself.
That's not true.
It is true.
Chris Weehan
did a really nice job on Friday with Ben and I. Very knowledgeable on the MLS, on San Diego FC. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't see very much of that last match they played in Salt
Lake
City.
I didn't either. I just saw the highlights. I read a lot
about it. I know they won. I saw some of the highlights. So, look, I'll tell you this. With San Diego FC, I mean, it's about as good of a start as you could have hoped for them. The only thing they really didn't do was, create a memorable moment in that home opener. 0-0. Score a goal, get the crowd going. But aside from that, I mean, two wins in three matches, one draw. They've already got 7 points. I mean, you could not have ever really asked for any kind of a better start. So good for them. They continue to impress early in their existence as a club.
Yes. All right, we're going to get into the Padres now, because I feel like we're at the point in the spring training season where there's not really much that we're talking about, because it's pretty normal stuff. We've already seen how guys are going to perform. We've already seen that guys are stepping up in left field trying to fight for that spot. Here's one area that we are still focusing on, which is that fifth rotation spot. You, Darvish.
I think there are a lot of areas to focus on.
Okay, we can go to that. But what I wanted to ask you is,
I mean, you get on here and you're like, yeah, we kind of know what's going on, but the one area where
left field and fifth rotation.
I could give you final two bench spots. I could give you fifth spot in the rotation. I could give you left field. I could give you catcher. We could go a million different ways, but I digress.
Okay,
go ahead.
Let's go in those ways in a little bit, but we're going to talk about Matt Waldron right now, because he is leader in the clubhouse to some people as fifth rotation guy. Yesterday, after Nick Pivetta had an awesome start, went three innings, struck out three, walked one, gave up a hit.
Yep.
Matt Waldron came in the game, inning 2/3, 6 earned runs given up, 8 earned runs in his last two starts. I am trying to process this because I've been told spring training doesn't matter, but this feels like it matters.
Yes and no. In my opinion, I mean, look, on one hand, on one hand, you'd like Matt to see better results. On the other hand, I'll give you two reasons to not worry about Matt Waldron, or I should say two reasons as to why I think he's still very much in the mix for the fifth and final rotation spot, despite a couple of tough outings in the Cactus League. Reason number one, he's throwing the knuckleball far more than he did a year ago. That we know is something that the team wants him to do. So when you think about it, look, it may be, you know, a situation where if these were regular season starts, maybe if he's not locating that knuckleball and he walked quite a few people yesterday and it just wasn't landing in for strikes, it was, you know, floating up there but not landing in the strike zone, which is part of the problem. In a regular season game, I think you could argue that Matt's got enough other stuff where maybe, you know, he's trying to go away from the knuckleball if he can't get it over, at least attack a little bit differently. Whereas, you know, it's spring training and the games don't count, and he's, you know, kind of got a directive to use that knuckleball more. So, you know, again, I don't know that I'm going to put a ton of stock into the results because it's a spring training game and he's pitching a certain way because he's working on certain things. So that's number one. Number two, you know, I would say this, and look, we'll get deeper into it. I don't want to get too deep into it now because I know we got to get the break. But Stephen Kolek, you know, has been terrific. I think Stephen Kolek has a real shot to get this fifth and final spot. Kyle
Someone
Hart
who's flying under the radar,
as well.
For sure. Stephen Kolek.
For sure. But here's what I will say. Something Matt Waldron has that neither Kolek nor Kyle Hart have is a track record of a pretty extensive period in the major leagues, which came last season, where he very regularly got major league hitters out and put together really good starts.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle Hart's never done that. Stephen Kolek's never done that. I'm not saying they can't do it. But with Matt Waldron, there is a proof of concept, if you will.
Yep.
There is some proof in the pudding, if you will. There's a proof of whatever way you want to put it, of this guy getting major league hitters out with regularity using that knuckleball. And I do think that means something. So, yes, it's been a couple of rough outings in a row for Matt Waldron, but I think those two things I mentioned, the way he's pitching right now, what he's focusing on, and the fact that there is a track record with Matt, to me, those are two pretty important things to think about when assessing this fifth and final rotation spot. Doesn't mean he's going to get it per se, but
it doesn't hurt.
Something to
it
keep
doesn't
in
hurt
mind.
His chances at all.
It all matters. It all matters. The spring training results matter. What you've done before matters. How you project matters. I think it's all part of the big picture when they're determining who will be that fifth and final starter, at least to begin the year.
All right, we've saved the bulk of it for the rest of the 4 hours, Sam. We could keep going into this as we go along. But when we get back, we're going to tell you about how the Yankees' pitching woes may affect the Padres. So stick with us, Sammy and Scraby, filling in for Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here, Gwynn and Chris, Sammy and Scraby. Tony's actually going to be back with us tomorrow after the game. Padres are actually playing right now, too. And something big just happened for the Padres out there in Peoria, Arizona. Here it is.
Tried to challenge the strike three call, but waited a tick too long and was not given the opportunity as he sends this one to deep center field. And Fernando off the camera. A home run is first of the spring.
There we go. Love it. I love that Fernando's getting his first home run. I love that he's hitting it off of the camera. How is Fernando feeling? He's been kind of a quiet guy here during the spring training period.
Yeah, you know, it is spring training. It is Cactus League games. You know, guys getting their timing back, their swing back. So,
but I'm saying Fernando, more like we haven't really heard much from Fernando. Or, you know, I know he was sick to start spring training, but he's just kind of focusing.
You want me to interview him?
I mean, yeah, sure. That would be great.
Okay. Well, that'll be on my list for the next few days.
Okay.
How about that?
All right. I love it. We'll talk more about
Fernando. Any other requests you have? Anything else you want me to do?
I know you have
one
with Jeremiah
Estrada. Other than join you for a 4-hour program?
Jeremiah Stroud is a good one. You have talked to basically everyone in spring training, so I can't think of anyone else right now.
No, there's some guys. There were plenty of one-on-ones I got to do still.
Okay. All right. Well, Sammy.
Well, the guy is done. That was done today. There are a number of other guys.
Yes. We'll hear from Jake here in about 20 minutes or so. Padres, top of the fifth inning. They're down 3-1 against the Reds. So we will check in on that.
That's it for the season.
Well, it's been it for the season every day because the Padres are, what, 4-11 in Cactus League play? This is getting ridiculous.
It's over.
It's getting ridiculous. Before the break, I told you that the Yankees' pitching woes may affect the Padres. And Gerrit Cole. Now, last year, he started the year in spring training complaining of some elbow discomfort. They decided to do a whole long rest. I don't think he debuted until maybe middle of the year, just before that. He was fine after that, but now he's dealing with some elbow discomfort once again. He has been told that he should probably... He's been advised to get Tommy John surgery. He's looking for another opinion on all of that. So that's not a for sure, the Tommy John surgery, but... Here's the thing. With Gerrit Cole out and Luis Gil out for a while with the Yankees, they need to fill some rotation spots to begin their year. Could the Padres deal a pitcher and get a higher than asking price offer? Would you go contact the Yankees right now and say, hey, I know you need pitching. We want this. What do you say? Do you actively shop the Yankees for a certain deal?
Do I actively shop? I don't know. I really don't want to.
Yeah.
I like this group the way it is. I understand that injuries create needs for other teams. I understand certainly if the Yankees are calling more aggressively about somebody like a Dylan Cease, about somebody like a Michael King. I understand that. I understand that AJ's got to listen. You know, I suppose if it's the right package and something you feel is going to help your team, your organization, I guess it's something you consider. Look, for 2025, I like where they are. I like this team. I like this rotation. You know, you move a guy like a Dylan Cease right now, I think it does two things. Number one, it creates, a massive hole in your rotation where all of a sudden now we keep talking about one rotation spot at the back end. Now everybody moves up a slot and you have two rotation spots unless you're getting a starting pitcher back that's ready. It opens up a massive hole, in your rotation. And I like this team and where it's at and think they're going to be pretty good and right in the mix. And, you know, if they're not, you're going to be able to, you know, dangle King and Cease at the deadline, and we'll worry about that then come the summertime if they're not, you know, in the mix. So, I don't know. To me, I'm focused on 2025, and the best version of this team is with Dylan Cease and Michael King on it. So, it's my opinion. That doesn't mean that conversations aren't happening. That doesn't mean that AJ Preller shouldn't listen, shouldn't consider, but for purposes of this 2025 Padres team, it's very hard for me 2 weeks out to see one of those guys moving and consider it a good thing at this current moment. And I'll also say this. For this current group, I think it's pretty tough to to 2 weeks out from spring training, when I think you feel like you got a pretty good group, to move one of your key starting pitchers. You know, I mean, that's a rough message to
your
clubhouse.
You're rolling the dice.
I mean, that's so, again, who knows? Crazy things happen. AJ does things that you don't expect at times you don't expect it, but I would prefer Dylan Cease and Michael King to be Padres on opening day.
I agree with you. I think that when I first heard about this, of course, I thought, oh, well, maybe AJ is going to do something, but I don't think he's going to break it up this late. Now, he did break up the team a little bit last year when he ended up getting Dylan Cease, but that was a completely different situation. You're putting
Dylan Cease.
Yeah, you're putting in a pitcher and you're giving away prospects and, you know, completely different. But I agree. Keep this group together. They seem to have something here. This clubhouse seems to want to fight for each other. And I know that you can't just use that and not trade someone, but I like where they're at right now. I do.
Yeah, look, the Yankees in particular are in a really interesting spot, okay? they potentially have lost Gerrit Cole for the season and more. I mean, he gets Tommy John surgery in a week.
It's over.
I'm saying hypothetically here.
Yeah.
He has to go get it in the next week. Guess what? Gerrit Cole is probably going to miss part of next year, too, okay, with the timing of it.
Yep.
Okay? It's awful timing. So they've lost him. Luis Gil is out for 2 months.
Yep.
Rotation's not great. You've got a team that, you know, it's coming off a World Series appearance. It would seem kind of impossible for them to lose Gil and Cole for extended periods of time, and Cole probably the whole year, if he does go get Tommy John, which it sounds like is probably going to happen. Look, if I'm Brian Cashman, I would be calling the Padres and asking about Dylan Cease. So again, never say never, because to me, the Yankees, and there are other teams too that could use starting pitching and have dealt with injuries, the Mets being one of them, losing Montas and losing Sean Manaea, you know, early this spring. So
also now outside of pitching, they've lost Francisco Alvarez for 6 to 8 weeks of the broken ham eight bone.
So look, I am sure AJ is getting calls. I'm sure of it. I'm sure there are legitimate calls being made to the Padres because they got two guys in Cease and King that are free agents at the end of the year. And we know we're in heavy trade rumors earlier this offseason. So I don't want to say it's not going to happen. I don't want to say, you know, it's never something that's going to happen, because I'm sure the calls are coming in. But I just think it would be a really tough move to your team, to your fan base, to move one of those guys 2 weeks, you know, to opening day. But never say never. You know, look, you know, AJ gets a package he wants, and maybe a package where he feels, you know, it improves your system and it improves your team in other areas, and it's worth it and it makes sense. You know what, we go from there. But I would say from a major league standpoint, it's pretty hard to envision right now, even if you know, even if there's a chance it could happen.
Two things. First, I love it when you go, ha ha, like you have this evil laugh about trading away people before the season. It's hilarious. And secondly, at least the Padres fans aren't Yankees fans. I mean, can you imagine where we would be right now with two pitchers being out of the starting rotation? It's bad. It's bad for the Yankees fan. I'm knocking on all the wood, and that shook my camera. But there's injuries all over baseball, and I'm not even going to say what I wanted to say about the Padres, so I'll move
forward.
But
I'll say this. Look, here's the thing. The Dylan Cease move last year, the timing of it, it's very rare. It's very, very rare that you have that magnitude of player traded during spring training. Let's not get things confused. Injuries happen every spring, but something we don't see happen often in spring are big trades involving big players and big moves. It's not usual. What we usually see is guys get injured, and then these free agents that haven't signed yet have been signing. That's been sort of the pattern the last, you know, half decade or so, as we've got into a rhythm where there's just all these unsigned guys at the start of spring. But it's pretty rare to see a big trade, you know, 2 weeks to opening day. It just is. So I don't think it's likely. I don't, but I am sure the calls are coming in, because if you're the Yankees, if you're the Mets, why wouldn't they be? They need pitching.
I would definitely be contacting the Padres, and they have a chance. I mean, the Mets didn't spend $350 million to not make the playoffs. They're definitely trying to make the playoffs. Real quick before we go to break, Jurickson and Profar with the Braves. Saw this over the weekend. Very scary moment for him. He dove to try to catch a fly ball. He came down on his wrist. He hurt that wrist. He left the game. But news is that there is optimism regarding his wrist. It looked like if he rests the rest of spring training, basically opening day isn't out of the question for Jurickson and Profar. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, obviously, if he's unavailable opening day, that'll be a blow for the Atlanta Braves. And I hope Jerickson's okay.
Yeah,
Jerickson is a great guy. I still support Jerickson, even though he's not in the brown and gold. So it was good to hear that his wrist wasn't broken.
Yeah,
and hopefully he's back very soon.
All right, you talked to Jake Cronenworth a little bit, or
I
yesterday.
Did. I've been working all day.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
Unlike you, who pops on at 2 p.m.
That is not true. I get up at 6 a.m. and I start moving the hamster
wheel.
Walk
your dog, have a leisurely breakfast.
Yeah, then I
get a nice workout in.
Play some video games for a little bit, take a nap before I come down here.
Yeah, a lot of work.
It's beautiful, actually. I love my job, Sam. All right. Jake Croterworth, Sam Levitt, when we get back on 97.3.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night,
pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan.
Successful one on the pitching side. Hits that one a mile. How about three in a row for Gavin Sheets? A home run on Saturday, a home run on Sunday, and another long one here on this Monday afternoon.
There you go. Home runs in bunches for the Padres. Sammy, it's Gravy 97.3 The Fan. I took Sammy off of the YouTube screen for a second because he was doing something.
It's okay. People can watch me making my
okay,
salad.
I just want to make sure you're not doing.
I don't care. They can. You know what? I'll just keep the YouTube stream on. People can watch me sleep later.
I forget which camera I'm looking at. I'm looking at this one. I've had many requests for a uncensored live break feed here in studio, and I have one answer.
You know what
that,
I want to do? I'm going to become one of those IRL streamers.
You want no one wants that.
Yeah, and I want to always be streaming, and people can watch me live my day to day life. Everywhere though.
No one wants that.
At the ballpark, playing pickleball, sleeping, eating, dating, you name it.
Well, I have caught up on Love is Blind, Sam. We're gonna have to get into a conversation later.
What episode are you on?
I just saw one of them. Not get married at the altar.
Oh, okay.
So I'm all the way at the end, but we could talk about that later on in the show.
Okay.
I was, because the reason I thought about that is because you said your dating life could be on IRL in real life. And I thought when I was watching Love is Blind, because people are like, you should do it. You should do it. You should do it. I do not want the world knowing what I say, like behind closed doors. It's not
as I've
something
said,
I'm interested
as I've
in.
Said, I will go on one of those shows for clout, for social media.
Well, that's what they do now. So
to be a villain.
To be a villain.
Let's talk about Gavin Sheets for a second.
Yes, yes.
We heard the home run. Nice call there by Mr. Agler.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, three home runs in 3 days. Look, I think he's got a real shot. You know, I said earlier about Matt Waldron that one thing that he has is a track record of getting people out in the major leagues. But let me use the same logic with Gavin Sheets. When you think about his potential role on this roster and his candidacy for, let's say, that final bench outfield spot, and he can play first base as well.
Let me say this before you go into it.
Yes.
I was thinking about Gavin Sheets over the weekend and thinking, man, he's probably played himself out of consideration, but now three home runs, two in the last couple days.
Right. And the thing that Sheets has that some of these other guys don't, whether you want to talk about Tirso Ornelas or you want to talk about Eggy Rosario, something that he does have is a track record of providing at least power in the major leagues. I mean, keep in mind, Gavin Sheets played in 124 games in 22, 118 games in 23, 139 games in 24. Now, you know, last year, he had an OPS of 660. He had a 599 OPS the year before. But he does hit home runs. He had 10 home runs in, you know, 450 at-bats last year. He had 15 in less than 400 at-bats in 22. That was the best year of his career overall. 706 OPS, 15 home runs, 53 RBIs in 124 games. My point is that when you, again, talk about track records, if I'm comparing him to Tirso, if I'm comparing him to Eggy Rosario, you know, he does have a track record of, at the very least, providing pop and power in the major leagues. So to me, you mix that in with now, you know, a nice little run here at spring training. It's interesting. I think he's a very interesting candidate for that final bench spot If you're assuming Jose Iglesias is on the team.
Yeah, is there, I don't exactly know how this works, but Gavin Sheets, say he doesn't make the opening day roster, is he just back in AAA so they have some depth, or is he allowed to go look for another team?
I believe he would just be in AAA.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I believe
that's
he has
good,
options
because then
left.
There's,
yeah.
If the Padres have depth, then you can keep bringing those guys up as needed.
Well, of course.
Works.
Look, here's the reality. Ornelas as an example. Okay, let's say Tirso doesn't make the team. He is a 40-man guy already. In all likelihood, you're going to need somebody like Tirso at some point in the year. Okay, injuries happen, performance happens, DFAs happen, all of it. I'm pretty much willing to bet that Tirso is going to get an opportunity in the major leagues probably at some point this year, one way or another. I just don't know that that's going to come on the opening day roster. It could, but, you know, he's got guys pushing him. Yep. Eddie Rosario has had his moments. He's played some left field this spring, not a ton of it. Provides a little bit more versatility defensively with also being able to play the infield. And also, Eggy's out of options. Okay, that's a significant part of it. That's something to consider.
Can you explain that real quick? Like the options that you get so many options, and once you're out of options, you're not allowed to go ahead and explain.
Yeah, so the Eggy, for example, being in Brett Sullivan actually is out of options as well. It means that you can't get sent back down to the minor leagues. I believe you would then be placed first on waivers.
I think you're right.
Before then potentially being released. You got to put them on waivers. Then you would have to, if they clear waivers, release or trade. I think first to go on waivers.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is you can't just send him down to the minor leagues.
No. So this is a big deal.
There is a high potential that you will lose the player out of your organization one way or another.
Wow. So that puts a lot of weight on the Eggy Rosario spring training and stuff like that. I mean, I didn't realize that he was out of options.
He is.
But, all right, well, that changes some thinking a little bit. So that means he can never be sent back down to AAA with the Padres?
Correct.
Wow. So... I'm floored by this, because this either means he makes the team and he's on the Padres, or he's out of the system.
Yeah, now, first you're placed on waivers. I guess there are situations where if you clear waivers,
you can
then you would be able to go back down to the minor leagues. The option stuff sometimes can get a little wacky.
You
can't just
me?
Put them in the minor leagues.
Baseball contracts and rules are some of the most confusing roster rules in all of sports, Sam. So I don't blame you for it. All right, Sammy. Caught up with Jake Cronenworth yesterday over the weekend, and we have it for you. Here is Sam Levitt interviewing Jake Cronenworth.
Sam Levitt here of the Padres Radio Network in 97.3 The Fan in Peoria, Arizona at Padres Spring Training. And right now I'm joined by Padres infielder Jake Cronenworth. It's become maybe a little bit of an annual tradition to stand out here and do a little one-on-one. First, how was your offseason? Big offseason for you. You got married. How was all that?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. New chapter in life, and it's been outstanding so far.
Last year, we talked about your offseason priorities, what you were working on heading into this past winter. What were some of those priorities as you got ready for this year?
I mean, same stuff as always, man. You know, it's always trying to find a way to get better at the plate. You know, trying to find a way to get better on defense and base running and faster and stronger and, really anything I can do to help the team win.
One of the cool things walking into the clubhouse this spring training is you look around and there are some, faces that are missing from a 93-win team last year. But it's really the same group, and the core is really the same. When you think back to last regular season, it was such a tight-knit group, and it showed in the way you played. What do you hope that you guys took away as a group from what you did during the regular season last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is it's a team that has a lot of guys that, like you said, were there last year, and most of us went through kind of that little lull at the beginning of the season where we were kind of playing 500 baseball, and as the season progressed, we found a way to get better and got to know each other really as a group more and more as the season went on, and I think it showed on the field.
You talked about the lull at the beginning of the season. That was something that we saw a little bit in 23, saw it a little bit in 24, sitting around 500 at the All-Star break. how do you think you guys get off to maybe a little bit of a quicker start this year?
Yeah, I think it's just back to kind of what the familiarity with the group we have now. You know, we know who we are as a team. We know what we do as an offense. Same thing on the pitching and defense side.
Yeah.
Some guys have moved around to new positions, but no, I mean, that I think alone is going to help us, you know, get out of the gates maybe a little faster.
I do want to talk about your position in a second, but you mentioned the offensive side, and one thing that really stood out last year was this team led the majors in batting average. You struck out fewer than any team in baseball. From an offensive identity standpoint to you, what do you feel like you guys take into this year?
Yeah, I mean, we take a lot of pride in what we do and what we do as an offense, especially at the park we play at and, you know, the pitching staff we have. And, you know, our saying is we only need to score one more run than the other team, whether it's 1-0 or 14-13. But, no, I think, you know, the buy-in of the group and what we do as an offense is unique to us. And I think, you know, the buy-in is the biggest piece. And, you know, for everybody to do that and, yeah, you know, I necessarily wouldn't call it a small ball approach, but it's, you know, we get on base and we drive them in when they're on, and, you know, it may not be, you know, five homers in a game. It might be 15 singles or 10 singles, but, you know, that's kind of who we are.
From a position standpoint, I feel like we have this conversation every year around this time about where you might play. You've spent most of spring training, it looks like, working out at second base, mm-hmm. playing second base. Jose Iglesias is now in camp. What is your expectation about where you may play on what given day during the year, or at least to start the year?
Yeah, the plan is to be at second base and kind of back to where I was those first 2 years, so or first 3 years. But yeah, working there, you know, got note of it in the offseason and could kind of cater towards what I wanted to do, and from a workout standpoint and a defensive work standpoint, to be ready for spring.
Do you enjoy playing second base the most? I mean, you always say the right things about, you know, where you play, but do you enjoy it more than?
I mean, I enjoy it a lot. I feel like, you know, being in the middle of the infield and being able to communicate with all the guys and play an impactful role on the defensive side of the ball, which I love, is huge.
Finally, just want to ask you about a couple of your teammates. The guy to your left when he's playing first base, that's Luis Arraez, who, you know, goes through last season, mm-hmm. has the torn ligament in his thumb, still wins a third consecutive batting title. What's it been like for you watching him hit and learning from him?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, since we've got him and I have built a great relationship, just, you know, more so, you know, talking in the game and talking about the guy we're facing and, you know, how to attack him. You know, we don't have too many lefties in our lineup, and, you know, I think him and I have leaned on each other a lot in terms of what we see and what we value that day and what we can do.
Jackson Merrill, another lefty in the lineup. What was it like for you watching what he did last year?
Yeah, it was awesome. I don't know what it's like to be 20 years old in the big leagues. I think I was in college still, but no, I mean, it's incredible. He's super mature, but guy busts his butt and wants to win, which is the biggest piece.
You mentioned, or you alluded to, kind of your journey to this point. Obviously, it's a little bit different than a guy like Jackson's. And, you know, there have been, you know, as a team, ups and downs throughout the last couple of years, whether it was a great regular season, the disappointing way the postseason ended last year. How do you feel like maybe your journey as a player coming up influences maybe the way you can see those ups and downs?
Yeah, I think compared to a lot of the guys on the team, you know, most of those guys were called up at a super young age and have been in the big leagues for a long time, whereas, you know, I played 5.5 years in the minors and, you know, I didn't get called up until I was 26 and now I'm 31.
Right.
So, no, I've seen a lot, and I think, you know, I don't want to say old age and my wisdom, but I think I see the game in a very unique way, and you know, I just try to spread that knowledge and, you know, teach guys and learn from guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, have that.
Jake, appreciate the time as always. Look forward to catching up during the course of the season. Best of luck with everything in 2025, and enjoy the rest of spring training as we inch our way towards opening day.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sam.
That was Sam Levitt with Jake Cronenworth, and good stuff, Sam. Very, thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thanks, Grabe. Always working for your show.
I know you are, and I appreciate that.
Can I give a better, and thank you to Jake for joining me. Good stuff there with Jake. Can I give a better definition of or scenario of what happens when a player is out of options?
Yes, of course. So
and
just make
DFA'd.
Sure you're done eating like Chris Ella.
I will. I was eating a salad during the course of that recorded interview. let me explain it a little bit better, right? In the case of a guy like an Eggie or Brett Sullivan, they're put on waivers because I had a couple of people text me after I not very well explained that.
Oh, that's a great feeling.
First put on waivers. If they're not claimed on waivers, they can either accept an assignment to the minor leagues or they can choose to become a free agent.
Okay.
Right? So first you risk losing them on waivers down to the minor leagues. They can accept that assignment or they can elect to become a free agent after being DFA'd.
That's actually pretty straightforward, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when I originally described that, I did not include the idea that they could clear through waivers and then accept an assignment back down in the minor leagues. So
yes.
I apologize for that.
Trevor says, put down the beaver nuggies, Sammy. I'm coming out there in a week, and I'm bringing the beaver nuggets. They've still yet to be
opened.
Yeah,
you should. I love beaver nuggets.
Yeah, you're going to have a whole pack of beaver nuggets because I got two. They made me buy two when I bought the beaver nuggies. You can't just buy one. You have to buy two. So I have tons of that. Beaver nuggets were very good, Sam, by the way. They were delicious. You were absolutely
Yeah, they get
right.
a little old after a while.
Yeah, but I think I would eat them as a
nuggets.
I think I would eat that as a cereal before I'd eat them just like
Ew.
Sitting on the couch. Yeah, it
sugary
tastes like
cereal.
Speaking of cereal,
last night, and for those of you watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see. Last night, I restocked my oatmeal supply.
Oh,
yep, got more oatmeal. Got a lot of stuff here. So plenty of breakfast stuff. Finished up my fruit today.
When you go to the grocery store, what's your
yes.
what's your game plan? Are you in and out? Do you like to go up and down the aisles?
Well, I go to Trader Joe's a lot. And in Trader Joe's, I kind of know the store down pat. So, you know, I stick to easy stuff. I am going to be getting an air fryer when
Ooh.
I get back to OB. Get a little air fryer. There's something else I was going to get. Air fryer.
Have you never had an air fryer?
Oh, no, never had an air fryer, but I've used it a couple
changing.
Of times here in
it's
the Airbnb. Get that, and also get air fryer. What else was I going to get? It was an air fryer and George Foreman grill.
Oh, yeah, I have one of those, too. They're
George
great.
Foreman grill. I used to have one, used it a lot. I'm going to get that again.
Emma Key wants to know, do you bring a list to the grocery
no,
store with you?
Absolutely not.
Okay, absolutely not. Why? I mean, I grew up with my mom.
It's far too
My job
it's far
was to cross things off the list as
it's
we
far,
were going.
It's far too organized for me. Far
I,
too organized.
I'm with you. I kind of am the guy who is random. I don't know if this surprises people, but I walk into the grocery store and I'm like, what grabs my eye first? I'm going down that aisle. And then, oh, look, I got Top Ramen when I didn't come here for Top Ramen. Then, oh, look, I have this. I didn't come here for that. And then I have to put some of it back. It's a whole process. Mm. But Trader Joe's, on the other hand, they have really good, like, pre-made meals. And so if I was out there, I would be getting the pre-made meals.
Speaking of, I was outside of the complex today, and they were serving lunch, and some guys came out with, like, some orange chicken and some egg rolls and some, like, kind of lo mein looking noodles.
That looks delicious.
It looked
delicious.
Good. I was jealous.
And you didn't get to eat it?
I almost told them, go in there, get me a plate.
This was at the complex?
Yes.
Okay, so
from the lunchroom.
Here's a funny story. When I first, way back when, went there, and I had no idea of the rules of you can't go into the lunchroom or the cafeteria. And so I get there, and I'm like, oh, look, they have all this food set up, and they got, like, coffee. So I'm walking in. I got my plate, and some guy looks at me. He's like, who are you? And I was like, oh, I'm with Tony Gwynn Jr. over here. He's like,
oh, that's fine.
Yeah, no, then
that
he
works.
Was like, Tony told you to come in here? And I said, no, he didn't. And he's like, yeah, because this is for players and staff only. I'm like, okay. So it was very embarrassing.
Did you keep the plate?
No. I mean, what am I supposed to do, though? The guy didn't take the food back and put it down.
You threw it out?
I don't know what they did. I put the plate down and I walked out because
I got
scared that I was going to get fired for being in the lunchroom.
It did look good. I was jealous. It looked good.
Yeah, orange chicken always does look good.
Maybe that's
right.
What I'll get for dinner tonight.
Little orange chicken, a little Panda Express?
Maybe. Not Panda Express.
Oh, okay. I haven't been to Panda in a while, so I wouldn't know either. Remember to listen at 5:30 for us to announce today's biggest fan for a chance to qualify for a night in our Odyssey suite at a future Padres game. Register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan in order to potentially have your name called. When we get back, Sammy and Scraby continues. We have the Daily Gambit. We also have a ton of NFL news today. Like, a ridiculous amount of NFL news. And at 3:40, we're going to be talking to Chris Weehan about SDFC. So a lot more ahead here on Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.